Yarmo once again expressed his desire to have me back on the team. Obviously, he'll be in touch with my agent. And throughout the playoffs, it hasn't been a focus of mine at all. Obviously, the next month or so, I'm going to have to make some decisions here.
Alex Tuch, back really only about a week ago. Maybe exactly. Last Wednesday would have been Tuch and Yarmo and Lindy.
That's right. A bunch of younger guys went on Tuesday, and Alex Lyon. And then, yeah, that's right. Last Wednesday was Yarmo and Lindy and the Kingpin guys, I guess.
We were talking with Luke Fox earlier, and he or you made a point about how when you go pointless in a seven-game series like Tuch did, and you're making $10.5 million a year,
right,
it's a bigger story than mm-hmm. it was. And that's the, maybe you could say, cruel reality of it. Like, always players are being judged through their contracts like that. I mean, Tuch isn't, you know, in poverty or anything like that. But you get into that $10-plus million range, it's just what we talk about.
Yeah,
he's context for
right.
you.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a bargain. Like, a lot of their guys have been a bargain. And so when a guy that's been a bargain doesn't produce, it's more like sort of, oh, well, too bad. We could have used that.
That was supposed to happen.
Like,
maybe.
Tough luck, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, you're making 10.5. There's like, look in the mirror. There's nowhere to hide. You're expected to come through. That's it. So, you know, that's where he's headed, I think. Like, whether it's here or somewhere else, like, he's going to get like that. I do not think that the playoff series, maybe the playoff series throws a team or two that were thinking about getting in it out of it. Like, you know, it was going to be a lot. We were going to regret the last few years anyway. Oh, he went pointless. All right, let's do something else. He's got better ideas. But I still think there'll be a half a dozen, if not more, maybe 10 teams that are just, yeah, cap's going up. This guy's a two-way force, kills penalties, scores 60 points a year, big. Okay, yeah. He's going to get paid.
He will refuse to let his moderate to severe playoff drought define him.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So therefore, he'll take Mercurius, Apolixum Lexum. Do not take Mercurius if you are allergic to Mercurius. Or, you know, just check. You know what? You just basically just check with your cardiologist and your endocrinologist and your ear, nose, and throat doctor and your gynecologist. Why not check with all these people and make sure it's okay, it's safe for you? You could develop, however, this is a partial list of symptoms. It's 37 things, but it's still not complete. Cirrhosis could ensue. Mm-hmm. Fingernail damage.
I was about to go somewhere else on Tuch, and I've completely forgotten where I was going to go.
Really?
Is it?
Not there?
No. Well, no. Do I have to be dug in? Like, I feel like I'm just sort of, I don't know what to do with Alex Tuch. I don't know. Make a call, all right? Like, I'm on the radio. You want to sign this guy or not? I think I'm a yes. I think I want to be a yes. That you are a contending team, and I don't think you should be scared off of seven games. I don't want you to change the goaltending off of the Montreal series, so why do I want to believe Alex Tuch flew into a cliff suddenly in game 87 of the season or whatever the hell it was? Your Stanley Cup contending window is wide open. You are in it. You are not approaching it. You don't need a couple things to go your way. You, I think, proved, you should have proven to yourself, certainly proved to me, you're a real tomato ketchup Stanley Cup contending team. Does that team let an assistant captain who plays in all situations walk away? Having won nothing. This is not Tampa where they won cups and they're like, oh, well,
it's not
sentimentality
Kill.
Is fine, but Steven Stamkos, you know, you got to go because, you know, we're trying to keep winning here and you're too old now. We don't have that. You don't have that luxury. So I'm listening to all cases. I mean, I understand that it is not, it's not an easy one. But man, I think additions are called for, not major ones, like you're close. Divesting yourself of that guy, I mean, I don't want to get too far into what it'll mean to the room, because they'll, you know, they'll get over it if it happens. Like they'll be back here and they'll be ready to play. But he's the face of guys that we want to be, guys we want guys to want to be here. He's it. I think you got to just, you got to get it over. I think you got to find a way to get it done. I'm not saying you just, he walks in and says, I want 12, and you just go, okay. But I'm hopeful that, like, whatever numbers you've heard attached to them, that's just, you know, there's the posturing and there's the what we really can live with number, and that they just get there. Because he's going to get, the offers are going to be huge if he gets to July 1st. He's going to get huge offers. So you're going to head that off at the pass with probably 10 a year.
Which isn't necessarily even possible. That's up to Tuck.
Sure, to an extent it is.
I want to go find out, and you can't change my mind.
Yep.
Whatever the maximum allowable contract is would seem the utmost insanity, but he could still theoretically say, like, no, I told you.
I want to see what
I want to find out
what's out there.
I'm not closed to signing with you, but I want to find out. He can't do that until then. So if that's his approach, then you just have to wait. Mike is next. Hello.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you today?
Great, Mike.
So, you know, I went to game one of the Boston series and game seven of Montreal, which was really tough. But when you look around the arena and you look at everybody that's going there, there's one, I noticed a lot of Tuck jerseys. And I think that guy has kind of toughed it out with us during some of the darker days. And I think he's owed it. And I think that the seven games, no points, it's tough to deal with. It's stunk. I was really kind of hoping he was going to pull something out or get the game winner and send us to the next round. But I think we can let that one slide to build around him. I think that guy should stay here. It would be a real tough pill to swallow to let him go. I say pay the man. Pay the man his money. He deserves it. He earned it. And I think you can build off of that. Unless there's something like crazy coming down the pipeline in the terms of a trade, I don't know who the front runners would be, but I think we could put our focus in another direction, and he's somebody to really build off of. He's got Buffalo written all over him, and I'm in full support of keeping him. So that's what I got to say. Go Sabres, go Bills. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Okay, Mike. Pay that man his money. Was that a Rounders?
That's just about that.
You know, I didn't need to bring that up. And I just did my little drug dance, which hashtag drug dance, which I enjoy. You with that tomato ketchup every time. That's vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one. I'm not sure you've seen a movie in the last 20 years either.
Oh, well, sure. But the movie Vacation is quoted by billions more people than Fletch.
That's what I don't like about it.
So you've still got that working against you.
Against you.
Against, what do you mean against me?
Well, I mean, you want to start quoting Caddyshack now because everybody else does it?
Well, I'm just
Animal House.
The point of quoting something is that it's universally recognized as, like, you don't have to explain it, which is the problem with your Fletch tangents. Nobody knows what you're doing.
Four words. How dare you? Real tomato ketchup is not a known line from that movie that everybody, it's not ubiquitous. It's not like, oh, yeah, I remember.
Really?
That. I don't think so.
Oh.
I know it, but I don't think it's like common knowledge.
Oh, I think so. I think it is.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I think if it is, it's because of you.
Well,
if it is,
I'm so flattered.
People have heard you say it enough times where they wanted to look it up.
Real tomato ketchup, Eddie.
It's a question he asks, right?
Like, right. Real? Well, is he holding it up and stirring it around because it's actually just like crushed tomatoes or something? It's, they can't afford ketchup.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say this about Tuck, and we'll have all summer to talk about it, or at least some period of time. I doubt anything changes tonight. But you wanted to get to a take on Tuck. You wanted to get to a All right, a position.
Hold me down. I'm going to tell you this is what I think, and I think they should sign him.
And tell me if this is not accurate. You sound like you're maybe 75-25 to do it. 80-20 to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You wanted to get to 100.
Yeah.
I am the same, about the same ratio on the other side.
Okay, well, what a pair we are.
I don't hate the idea. I certainly understand it. You have to remember that it's not entirely up to you. Well, as far as we know, anyway, unless Tuck has told them I would sign for this, then that is mostly up to the Sabres if they can come up with the room and everything else. But I am not really scared of losing them, actually. And I'll say quickly something from the other day that I think it's important to me. The best a GM can do is not just necessarily sign the top guy. You know, if he were on another team, we would not even talk about it. Well, maybe we would. Maybe we would. If he were coming off from Carolina, maybe we would talk. This is the Sabres' chance to be a real team, right? And go sign the top free agent. Maybe we would. But I think I'm going to like him just about as much either way. Assuming that there will be a plan B, whatever that is. We've been wrong assuming that from the Sabres before.
Yeah.
Like even last year.
I do think a good question to ask me digging in on signing him is what exactly I want to do with Osland and Hellenius and Kulik. Because there's not room for all those guys. There's not room for all of them, maybe even if Tuck's not here, let alone if he is. Where is everybody going? And I don't know if I have room for everybody.
You got to figure that out.
But that's a part of the problem that's pushing me to want to keep them is because I'm already one of the youngest, if not the youngest team in the league. And I'm going to go about upping the ante as a Stanley Cup contender by getting younger? What? That's not how it's supposed to work anyway. I'm not saying it couldn't work, but.
Right. Yeah, it's a good debate. Thanks for the call, Mike. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Roll along here on a Friday. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker, Derek Kramer. Out today, hopefully back either tomorrow or Monday. Sports Talk Saturday, next point on Monday. I'm not working tomorrow. Mm-mm.
No.
Sleeping in tomorrow.
Look at you.
Very excited. We have good sports tomorrow as well. And like a nice little break because the weather, I think, should be good tomorrow. Champions League final at noon. That'll wrap up around 2. And then at 8 o'clock, it gets Game 7 of OKC and the Spurs. That's a pretty good window. You can still go if you want to go to your farmer's markets, want to run some errands in the afternoon. You're not crunched for time.
It's good stuff.
It's very, very good stuff. I don't know if I'm going to do anything, though. That's the
probably
key.
Not.
I have no idea. Probably not, probably if we're being completely honest. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. Get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And Mark will start us off this segment. Mark, morning. How are we doing?
Good, thank you very much. One thing I haven't heard you guys ask is what players have been successful after the age 30 in the NHL? If Alex Tuch went on 4 more seasons to score 30 goals, is he worth the 10.5?
Probably not. Mark, thanks for the call.
I mean, after 30, I mean, Ovechkin's been pretty successful.
That's my problem. There's been enough players that have been successful, but if I'm going to pay a guy $10.5, $11 million a year, 8-year contract, no move clause, he needs to be doing more than just scoring 30 goals and having around 60 points.
Sure.
Right.
That's my big – so we were talking about this in the break. I pay him that contract. Where he's been at the last 3 years, 59 points, 67 points, 66 points. Also should be noted, to end this year, he has 33 goals, but he gets a lot of that right at the end. Mm-hmm. It's like 5 of those right at the end of the year. Diminishing returns after 30. Owen, we've talked about this. I think you mentioned either yesterday or the day prior. You know, he'll probably get slower, right? The explosiveness will go away. If I'm paying a guy $10.5, $11 million a year for 8 years, and he's giving me 55 points.
That's tough. It's a tough place to be.
We're already talking about this with Josh Norris of being the highest paid forward and not, in fact, being the best forward.
Right. There's plenty of evidence of some players that are capable of playing high level hockey extended into their later years. A lot of that, though, is often a defenseman, just due to you don't have to skate as much to forecheck. That's really why that happens. You're getting hit on the forecheck, but as you get older, you learn ways to kind of avoid that and whatever. You can kind of coast. It's easier to play D for longer into your career than it is to play forward, especially in a kind of a – he's not a checker, but he's a forechecker.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a defensively responsible 200-foot guy. He's not Alex Ovechkin who can go out there and coast around and wait for somebody to pass him the puck. He's a guy that has to move and work and do things that are difficult on the body. So I don't know that his game necessarily indicates that it will be something that can outlast his body. Like I would for, say, Sidney Crosby, because he's so smart and his skill is not necessarily blazing speed. It's strong edge work and high IQ. That is not always where Tuck is. He's a smart player, but he is a fast player, and that is where a lot of his effectiveness comes from. And so that does become a concern. And, you know, like you said, if you're paying a guy $11 million until he's 36 years old, like, you will run into some issues. You just will. And that's going to be what it is. And are there ways to get around that? Yeah, you stash him on LTIR if he's got a dinged up knee or something. And like, you can live, but it's not ideal. And if you can avoid the situation and get a replacement that is as effective but younger, then you have to try to do that as the responsibility of the general manager to exhaust all options to, is this the best thing we can do? And that is why I think you're seeing right now a lot of fans are going through that process. Like, is this really the best thing, or am I emotionally attached to this player? And I think we're all pretty emotionally attached to Alex Tuck, but it might not be the best idea because of all the things we're talking about here. It just wouldn't be worth it if he goes through the decline that is the data would measure out to show is likely coming for him. So I think that's where you're at with him.
Yeah, I'm not a big all-in on analytics guy. I think there's a lot of luck in sports and a lot of other things that come into play. But age is one thing that kind of gets to everybody at some point. And Alex Tuck, I mean, we've seen his speed on the breakaway goals, on the penalty kills, the power play, all of it, right? So
it's why, like, shorthanded goals.
Yes.
What, did he lead the league this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the reason why, his defensive ability and his speed.
Sure. So you see that and you're like, ooh, I want that. But then you need to really think about, you know, you said 6 years. Could it be eight, something by eight, right? Could it be something more down the road that way? Like, I've seen 8x8 or whatever, people proposing things like that.
I don't think you, to my knowledge, they have rolled back contracts. It's 7 years.
That's okay. Next year. That's next year.
It's next year.
Mm-hmm. This is the last year where he could get eight with this team, seven. And
I think by July 1st, he can only sign. Like,
because that starts the new
league. Yeah, that's the new league.
He would have to
July
get it
1st,
now.
He gets now. Okay. If he goes free agency, it's a 6 year deal, no? Or is it seven?
I think it's seven.
Okay. We'll have to all confirm that in the break.
We'll look at it. But
so, but either way, if it's the max term, it's a risk no matter
what. That's what I'm saying.
So,
and it wasn't this playoff series that really changed my mind on that. It's more so kind of looking at what players do after 30.
Right. It's not him. It's the data of all of time saying that time is undefeated and it comes for us all. And it likely all comes right now. This is when it happens.
He might be good for two more years.
The new contract, by the way, starts September 16th
of
this year. So this whole off season he'll still be able to, with Buffalo, get 8 years.
8 years,
if
seven.
He actually hits the market, seven, and then it all gets
pushed back
down a
September.
Year.
Okay.
So, but I you bring up 8x8. $8 million for Tuck?
Great.
I can do.
Well, that's the perfect idea, is it not? I don't think he'd go for that. Truthfully, it doesn't sound like it. Sounds like from everything we're hearing, it's $11 million.
It's double digits.
So
it's at least double digits.
Yeah.
You're not. If he signs a contract for less than $10 million a year, I'll.
Don't.
I don't know. I would be stunned.
Yeah.
It's just such a. It's such a massive amount of money he'd be leaving on the table. Somebody would offer him 12 on the open market. He's not taking $4 million a year less.
Sure.
It's too much money to leave on the table, no matter what the team is, if it's your hometown or not. It's just not. you would never feel right about it. Mm-hmm. If he does, then all power to him. Like, what a guy. It's incredible. But I would be stunned.
I go back to what Jarmo Kekäläinen said when basically talking about Tuck's contract, that, like, signing any of these guys, because he wanted to make sure he put, you know, Byram in there and Benson in there as well. The contracts still have to allow them to effectively do other things. Like, that exactly. seems to be the roundabout way in which he was going, of we need to do other things. The Sabres going into this offseason will have around $12.9 million. So if Owen was just saying, on the open market he gets 12, Sabres give him 11.5, you kind of can't do much else the entire offseason.
No. Yeah.
You can't really play with the Benson RFA contract. You may have to literally give him a one-year deal to bridge it, qualifying offer, to get him to him next year, which Benson may take.
Yeah.
He may not take. You may not want to take it with the feeling of, well, we're going to hopefully play him top-line minutes. We think he's going to break out, maybe be a 65, 70-point scorer.
Right.
That's where we think he's going to go. I mean, again, look how Yarmo's talking about him in his press conference, wanting to go out to Western Canada, go sit on the boat, and go hang out with him. Like, right. They're in love with him and Byram. That's ultimately the thing with Tuck. It is not just the fact that he is 30. That is a big part of it. It is also the fact that they don't really have much room to operate here. It's why I do still look at teams like Dallas. I think they would love to keep Jason Robertson. I think they're going to try as hard as they can. They also have around $6 million in cap space.
Right.
They have a ton of albatross contracts of older players that are stopping them from doing that. And specifically with the Sabres and Owen, I think you hit it on the nail on the head here of that emotional attachment. To that same vein, I don't want fans or the Sabres to live in a fear bunker of, but if we lose Alex Tuck, where's the production coming from?
Right.
We said the same things about J.J. Paterka.
Yeah.
And then Josh Doan pops off. I'm not saying Josh Doan can do everything that Alex Tuck does, right? They're not the same players. He also did have 25 goals this year and was one of their better playoff performers and put himself in a very good position. That's just one guy. There was also Konstantin Helenius goes to the World Championships, and him and Barkov are best friends. He has his goal yesterday. He had 2 assists in, what, 3 games he's played so far?
On the wing.
On the wing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do have Jiří Kulík back, who they thought was going to break out for them. They have got a lot of young talent, and that's before we even discuss the idea of them maybe trading for a Jordan Kyrou, who comes in under $8 million on his contract. I think he's only through 1 year of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Robertson, as I mentioned, that'd be a much bigger deal, but a younger player, and I'd argue a much better offensive player, a guy that's had multiple 40-goal seasons and multiple 90-plus point seasons. Would you have to give up a lot? Sure. My thing with Tuck is that even on the high end, he's ultimately probably not worth being your highest paid forward.
Right.
You've gotten some pretty darn good contracts. Tage Thompson being a 40-plus goal scorer most years and being under $9 million is a coup and a half.
Right.
It just is.
Yeah.
But with Tuck, and again, this is maybe my biggest issue, is just he's going to be my highest paid forward. We're already complaining about Josh Norris not giving you enough at under $8 million. Now you put that into $11 million, and I've lost some young talent, and probably, not saying definitely, but probably getting diminished returns as we go.
Right. That is the thing that, like, in the best case scenario for Tuck, what happens through the course of the contract? He stays exactly what he is now for the whole contract. That is so vastly unlikely if it's a long-term deal that it's almost mind-numbing. The best case scenario with a guy that you bring in, like a Kyrou or a Thomas, is that they get better in this this team and can make more of an impact for less money and as a younger player. So, like, there are a big number of benefits there. The one thing I want to be careful of is I think we need to be cautious of getting too deep into the, well, the kids will pick it up.
No, right.
Because that was the Adams mindset for so many years that kept them where they were until they finally did pick it up this year.
I mean, there are off seasons where they're adding like 2 pieces to their bottom, pairs.
Because
and bottom
Jack
lines,
Quinn and Devin Levi are going to come in and be all stars.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's not how this always works.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong. Helenius and Oslin and everything we've seen from those guys is extremely encouraging, and you should have faith that they will do that, but it shouldn't be your plan A. It should be if they do, then you've got a surplus on your hands and you're in great shape. So I want to be careful about, Tuck's gone. It's fine. We'll replace him internally. This is not the time. in their arc to me that that is worth doing.
No, and that's why for me, plan A and plan B is you're trading for a guy.
Right.
You're Bulldog says this all the time. You're in the window now. You have to act like you're in the Stanley Cup window now, and you are. I've mentioned this with Montreal. What did they do last year? Had a weakness on D, made the playoffs, lost in five. Cool. Dobson. Who's the best guy available? Noah Dobson. Yeah. And they go and trade for him at the draft.
They fired it up.
Sabres probably should be operating the same way, because for the first time in their history where maybe they're a good team, they don't have an internal cap issue. They now potentially don't have the issue of no one wants to play here, thanks to the last couple of months. And they have a GM who also for the first time in a long time isn't maybe either married to a bunch of these players or can't find in him to trade these guys away.
Right. Yeah.
They are maybe in the most advantageous position they've been in like 35 years.
Well, speaking of the GM, he was on a Toronto show just talking about the whole situation with Tuck. And he says, I think this should be a destination and will be a destination based on the way we're playing and winning and all of that. Paraphrasing, of course. We can play the clip. But he goes into the Tuck situation again, mentioning Jeff Skinner's number. Right? $6 million, $6.45 million this year, and then next year it's not as bad. And the years from there, it's not as bad. So he wants Alex Tuck, he says, but in the same breath, he's mentioning Benson, like the same thing he was doing in his end-of-season press conference in a glowing fashion versus, you know, with Tuck, we got to do what's best for the team kind of a thing. And I'm not saying leaving it up to interpretation, but in a sense, it kind of is because, I don't know, I think... I'm with you, Owen, on you can't just bank on, oh, we'll replace him internally, because he brings a lot to the team. It's a lot to replace. But I do think there is a world where he's not on this team and they're totally fine. I'm not worried about it by any means.
I definitely think it's entirely possible that that happens. Mm-hmm. I just think that your plan shouldn't be that. As Jarmo Kekalainen, you need to have a plan of action for, okay, if we lose this guy, how are we going to replace him? Because we have the opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
What, are we going to just forego that?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go into next year with a bunch of room and cap space? Like, No, they're not going to do that. So to me, that's where that comes into play. Like, you don't just go, well, they're fine exactly as they are. You use that space that you're now given.
Mm-hmm.
It's in some ways, it would be a gift. And so you got to use it.
That's kind of what it's nice about, no offense to Tuck, but just letting him walk in general.
Right.
Utilize that space for a younger player who's, even like we said the other day, 27, has three extra years before they hit 30. Like, that's what you want to do. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's not how he played. Again, I know a lot of people flipped as soon as the Montreal series happened. Yeah. It's not about that. It's the future of the team and getting someone who, what Owen said the other day, more aligns with the window that the Sabres have wide open in front of their face right now.
803-0550, the number to call. Would you be in favor of keeping Alex Tuck, even if it were double-digit $1 million in the contract? Or are you more looking towards either giving it to the young guys, trading for a big-time player? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker on WGR.
NHL bylaws, this and that, and I don't know everyone, but you know, you have non-compete clauses, so I can't resign today and go work for someone tomorrow. I can't work until Vegas gives me permission until this contract's up, which is at the end of next season. And I think they do that probably because they wouldn't want a coach in the middle of the year to resign on February 1st and go work up the street on February 3rd, right? Because they like a better situation. In this case, there was two teams that asked. It's public knowledge now, and I would like to talk to them. I want to go to work. I'm a hockey coach.
Bruce Cassidy is another example of the Golden Knights are a cold-hearted organization and always have been.
What if they just want a draft pick for him?
That's why they're doing it?
Maybe. I mean, the Sabres had to give the Penguins a draft pick for Dan Bylsma.
They did?
Yeah, they gave him a third-round pick.
Third-round pick? Yikes. I thought the reason why would be Vegas didn't want him staying in the Western Conference because the two teams that asked, I believe, are Edmonton and somebody else in the West. I don't remember who the other one is. Okay, yeah, I guess it could be for a pick. Like, hey, if you want Cassidy as your coach, you got to give us our second back that John Tortorella cost us for media violations. I don't know. 803-0550. We got a brand new feature we're going to introduce, but first, Jake in Buffalo is up. Hey, Jake, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was calling in because I actually do have a 24-person regulation league that we're in.
Okay.
It is redraft, though. So it is not Dynasty. We tried to figure out how to do Dynasty, and it just, like, doesn't work. But
yeah,
essentially, the first year, we had everyone randomly put into either the top division or the bottom division. And we have two guys on standby. So the last two teams in the bottom division actually get kicked out, and then two guys move up to the bottom division. And then if you come in first place overall, like in the standings, or if you win the bottom division, you move up. And then in the top division, basically two guys get booted down, like the last place in the season and last place in the toilet bowl. And it is going to be our second year in the league. And basically, as the years go on, the pot for the top league gets slowly bigger over the years. So that's kind of how we have our league laid out. But again, it's redraft, so we didn't really figure out a dynasty way to do it. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
So, cool, so. With redraft, how did you say you do it with the rosters, though? Like, are there double rosters? Because you're in,
yeah, it's two separate, yeah, yeah. Two, gotcha. It's really two separate leagues.
Gotcha, you're two separate leagues.
Yeah, it's basically two separate leagues.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. One more time. How many guys go up? Two each year?
Yeah, two. Yeah, each year, two guys get booted out of the league completely, and then two guys go up, two guys go down.
Gotcha.
All right. Thanks, Jake.
I think if you're going to do a relegation fantasy league, you got to do redraft. I just don't see how you would figure it out otherwise. Unless you did just like
AFC league and an NFC league. But the rosters would have to be small.
But then you'll get mixed as soon as they jump up.
Right. Yep. All right. Want to introduce our new feature? We're calling it Sense of Talk. Is that what we're going?
That was your name for it.
I like.
We had a couple of other. We had a couple.
Working on workshopping
Sense
names.
Of Talk.
Yeah.
Let's check out with our Sense of Talk. And that's whether or not Alex Tuck will resign or won't. Owen has made a graphic.
I do have a graphic.
So if you're watching on the stream, get ready. Here it comes.
Yes.
And if you're not, you're going to want to go back and watch this because Owen made a graphic. Basically, over the course of this offseason with the rumors and the reports, and like, what is our Sense of Tuck? He's going to be gone or he's coming back? Sliding scale. Right. The Sense of Tuck. We'll discuss where we place him on our Sense of Tuckometer.
Mm-hmm.
you could just throw ometer on anything, right?
I think it works.
Yeah, pretty much.
A tachometer. We're going to go with five spots, right?
Yeah.
He's here. Trending here. Toss up. Trending gone. Good as gone. Okay, so there are five spots on the scale. Is he as good as gone? Is he going to come back? Trending one way or toss up? We could put it like between toss up and trending. Whatever.
I've got him in the dead middle right now.
Right now he's in the dead middle.
I can slide him around there.
Sense of Tuck.
I think we need to move him down.
I think that is
trending gone.
Trending gone. I would agree.
I got him halfway through to trending gone.
Look at this. Owen sliding him up on the screen. This is great.
Right there. Look good.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Do you think that's a good spot?
Yeah. Slide him.
Move him just a little bit to the right.
Out of
tuck. Just a little bit.
But not much.
They didn't know what we would do if we got a guy to do graphics.
Yeah, like here we go. Right there. Halfway to the next line, right where you just put him. Right. I think this is the spot.
That's where we keep him for now.
I must be behind on the feed because he's still in the dead middle for me.
You are behind on the feed.
It's a little bit of a delay.
I'm behind in my own shows.
You hit live at the bottom.
Our show. I'm still behind. Hit refresh. There we go. Trending out of talk.
Yeah, I think this is the spot. So the latest was from Frank Saravelli. The Sabres are holding firm at 9. Merrick talked about what? Him getting a lot on the market. I mean, there have been Seattle rumors, right?
There have been reports that he has a bad taste in his mouth from Frank Saravelli, which you mentioned.
A sour taste. That was from Frank Saravelli as well.
Both sides just sour taste from bad playoff series from him, and he's all upset.
Yeah. The only thing that I think... Not the only thing, One thing that we haven't mentioned that I think could really help the idea of Tuck staying is how influential Dahlin and Tage might be in this.
Yeah.
Because they were very strong at their end of season press conferences, as you would suggest or you would guess about him staying. And, like, how much does he mean to them and to the room? He is the Calgary dinner that's been referenced multiple times by the players and coaches and whoever about them really sitting down and deciding, like, what this is what we need to do and, like, really locking in. Who's at that dinner? It's Dahlin, Tage, and it's Tuck. Like, he's one of the big three leaders of the team. And how are the other two going to feel if, like, yeah, no, we're not keeping him?
I feel like we should have had this full conversation before deciding he was, like, trending out of Tuck.
I think this is why...
You convinced me it's still a toss-up.
No, I think this is why he's not all the way to the left.
Okay.
Right. Part of it is, I think, they should have some influence, but this is not going to be, you have to keep him because Dahlin wants him to stay, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, sorry, if he wants $12 million, we're not doing that because you want to keep him.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Sorry, guys, but... We'll get you a good player to replace him, and you'll all live.
Right,
like that stuff can only go so far. There's also like, there's some part of that that could be like, this is the business, and that's our buddy. We're gonna try and help him out, but if it doesn't work, then like, well, you know,
the other part of it is also like, when guys leave because it's about we trade him for futures and prospects and rebuilding. That's tough to see your friend go. But if your friend goes and the following week you've made a trade for a number one center and signed, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's the business. We're trying to win the cup. And, you know, hey, as much as I love that guy,
this is the way it goes.
He had to go. And we're going to try to win. I wish him luck. All right. So our sense of Tuck is trending gone.
Trending gone. Yeah.
We are at that, you know, in between a couple of our ticks there. But we'll keep you updated on
that. We will revisit throughout next week.
Indeed. New rumors, new reports, it will all be included.
Tage, according to Quelly on the YouTube feed, Tage said that Samuelson, Greenway, and Zucker were at the dinner too.
Right. That's right.
Greenway feels like an interesting name to be in that group.
Veteran.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Veteran guy.
I think he's more well respected in that room than maybe.
I think he's a big, very popular.
I think people really like him.
Yep.
I liked him when I skated with him one time. And it was cool. It was good.
803-0550, our phone number. What else is going on?
I have a poll up on Twitter that's like 50-50, which is rare. Who are you more worried about getting in Buffalo's way this next season, Kansas City Chiefs or Florida Panthers? And it's basically a dead heat right down the middle. And they're both kind of similar, right? Like, it's bounce back candidate. Champions that didn't make the playoffs last year, that does everyone just kind of assume will be in your hair again? I think that is probably the case with Florida. I think it's probably the Chiefs as well, right? Doesn't everybody expect the Chiefs are going to be back in the playoffs?
Mahomes is healthy again, his supporting cast, like they're actually going to try to run the ball, which is something they never did.
Now they've kind they've of
never did it well. They've never done it well.
Yeah.
But
how's that going to go for them? They have a Mahomes who might be, even if he's on the field and healthy, I keep bringing up the Burrow comparison from when he first returned from that first ACL injury he had, and how Cincinnati, they did not unleash him for like 10 games that year, and they were very conservative, and it was a little strange. Is that going to be the Chiefs? Like, are they, because the other thing about Mahomes, think about how the Chiefs have operated on offense in recent years. He's been running a lot more. He's had to because lack of weapons, protection issues up front, no run game. Mahomes has been running more, and you can't do that, or you're not going to want to do that off that injury. So I am interested in what form they'll be in. I feel like I am very confident the Panthers are going to be a great team again. Too much talent if they're healthy, and we'll see what they do in goal. Like, I feel like the division next year for the Sabres, like, you have to go through the Panthers, and you have to go through the Lightning. And I'm not sure the Bills will have to go through the Chiefs. So I'd say Florida. They only half agree with me.
803-0550. show's almost over. We got extended sports coming up, then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All three of you boys are back again. Derek's still out sick. It stinks being sick.
In the summer, nonetheless.
For a couple days, too, yeah. All right, so Zach, Joe Cali, Owen, back in. Now that we have this incredible graphics package and the ability to do this, a few in the chat suggested we do a live decibel meter, like a noise meter.
Oh, here we go.
We could do that live during the show.
Let me...
We can look into that. I've got a live one. Right.
You could be. It's a dream come true.
Yeah, but can it be accurate?
I've got one on my watch right here.
Yeah,
it's so realistic, guys.
Yes, an actual decibel meter is realistic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The chicken wing on the Jumbotron
is not about the chicken wing only.
Also, Owen's getting. He's got three claims to fame. He's working on the third one. The first is, of course, Owen Parker, the parlay killer, who once killed 11 right. consecutive parlays.
True. Yeah,
that was pretty
number
good.
Number two is believing the chicken wing meter was live. Mm-hmm. And now number three, we're working on another new identity for Owen, and that is wrong group chat.
Yes.
He has
yes.
been Multiple sending times. Us cryptic messages in the group chat. We're like, yeah. that was definitely not for us, was it?
No.
Correct. No.
It was like three in the last 5 days.
I know. I don't know what's
wrong. Sorry, guys. Wrong group chat. Wrong group chat.
I was walking out to my car. He's sitting in his still. I walk out. I'm like, you know, you've wrong chatted us again.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know.
Come on.
So do you have a group chat that is similar name There's to?
It's a similar, what it is the picture. It's okay. like, it's a similar color of the group chat.
Yeah.
But that really shouldn't be an excuse because our group right. chat is like in that main like pinned. Priority
it's
pin.
Yeah,
bubble,
I got a pin.
And this other group chat is yeah. not. And so I still keep clicking this other group. I don't know. I'm
yeah.
an idiot.
Yeah, maybe you're right. The picture might be the thing because I was about to say I have our group chat name is Parlay Kings. I have another group chat that is Parlay Chasers. But the difference is ours is the king emoji, the right. king helmet or helmet crown, and the other one is the predator from the movies.
Yeah.
So those look so different that I've never made this mistake, even though I have two parlay chats.
The email is sent came into the chat. And like,
yeah, the
what is
email
this?
Is sent.
A hitman. Like,
what
email?
What could this be? right. What email?
Sent some sort of package.
Right.
Oh, really? It was just an email asking for an editor.
Fair. I don't have any editors. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
803-0550. All right, Extendo Sports coming up here on WGR.
You've got guys like Robert Thomas. I'll be perfectly honest with you guys here. I don't think they were ever in a situation where they were going to trade Robert Thomas. I mean, he's 26, 27 years old. You're talking about a guy that's really getting into the prime of his career here. I think that situation there was one where they were listening. When you have a Doug Armstrong telling his fellow peers that everybody is on the line, you're probably listening to other teams calling you instead of soliciting such a player.
I'm sorry, Zach. I forgot the name. You just told me who that was. Luke Horak. Thank you. On Robert Thomas. I'm in a little bit of a rabbit hole suddenly.
Is it a Robert Thomas rabbit hole?
It's a sneaky Joe rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
It's only Joe can the sort of
twists and turns
up.
That are to come.
So he had the numbers on Benson. So Benson leads the NHL in penalty minutes these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, they've been off for like a week, more than a week.
Yeah, right.
They're not in this round. Although, you know, there have been sweeps, right? There was another one.
Yeah.
He had a sweep.
Vegas swept Colorado last night.
Nonetheless, he's in first place with 64 penalty minutes. And Joe says, not only was that five misconducts, so that's how he got to 64. I mean, it had to be more than two.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because what, he didn't take 17 tripping penalties.
Right, yeah. Or fighting majors.
It wasn't a fight. It wasn't a single fight.
Right, zero.
Five misconducts. Joe says from NHL.com, only three players in NHL history have more than that in a single playoff.
All four rounds.
Yes.
Or three rounds, way back, whatever, still. Like, so he got...
They're all four rounds. They're all right. in okay. 70s and on.
Okay.
But they're also not that recent because hockey's different.
Right.
Dave Schultz is one. Dave Schultz, how about this guy? Former Sabre after he played for Philadelphia and was... Mm-hmm. How do you do this? Show me. I know it's math. How do you amass 472 penalty minutes in a season in 76 games? Like, Explain that to me. How do you run up? Let me get my calculator out here.
What you need to know, and there was a time when I used to know this.
Six a game.
Back in the mid-90s when I first started. I used to know. Maybe Rob even told me, because I did a lot of radio shows with Rob Ray when I first started out here. And Rob, of course, was someone who would amass, I don't think he ever got to 478, but he was regularly in the high 300s in penalty minutes in that era. And there's a way that they sort of the bookkeeping goes on a 10-minute misconduct is obviously a 10-minute misconduct. I don't know what you get. This is what the part I think I used to know. What game? You get dinged if you get a game misconduct.
I think it's 10.
It's only 10 more?
I think so. Okay. It's not 60.
No, it's definitely not 60.
I think it's 10.
I just didn't know if it was more based on when it happened or what.
I think if you got – there's a brawl and you got 5-10 in a game, I think that's 25.
Okay.
Which I bet there were a few of those.
Yeah, Rob, there were a lot of those.
Rob's career high was his first full season, 350.
Okay.
He also led the league a second time in 99. He led the league 261. Also won the King Clancy. That's how you do it. You lead the league in penalty minutes and take down that King Clancy.
Right.
Hi, Rob. Dave Schultz, 472 penalty minutes in one season. The year before, they beat the Sabres in the finals. And when they beat the Sabres in the finals, he was in one fight only. Did even the Flyers pull back for that? He had a total of 13 penalty minutes in six games. And I can't tell you for sure who he fought. Maybe someone remembers.
I just saw, I'm racking my brain. I just saw, it must have been the anniversary of the game, Sabres Classics on Twitter. It posts pretty long, lengthy clips sometimes. And I saw a Schultz fight from the finals. Or should I say final? Anyway, from that Stanley Cup final. And Rick Dudley is standing on the outskirts of it watching with another guy who he ends up fighting.
Bob Kelly.
Right after. Right. Now we've named everyone except who is fighting. Oh, it might be Schoenfeld.
It is.
Okay, yeah.
If I knew it was going to be either from the box score, Dudley or Schoenfeld. But the way you laid it out.
It's Schoenfeld, yeah. And they really just tied each other up. Does anybody really need me to review a fight from 1975?
Yes, I'm begging you.
Nothing really happened.
I'm thinking of becoming an investor. Because
I was kind of excited. Like, I remember Schultz fighting Danny a couple times. Not in the finals, but in those years. And I didn't remember him ever fighting Shoney. And so the clip, I think the text with the clip said, here's a Schoenfeld show. And I sort of sat up in my chair, I want to see this. And it wasn't much. They just wrestled a lot. It was, so anyway. The Dudley-Kelly fight was pretty good, though. Those two guys went hard. Anyhow.
If you win a fight, should you get, one less minute of penalty time?
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea. It's the offseason. So Schultz, Chris Nylund, for 86 Canadians that won the cup also. Mm-hmm. Well, the Schultz year is the year before, I think. Nylund, and then Neil Sheehy, who played for Washington before that Calgary. There was a season where he got into a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Penalties. But Benson had 5 misconduct penalties, and only 3 players in NHL history. Those 3 players have had more for one playoff, and Benson is out in the second round. Wow, I wonder if he would have gotten to 10.
Right.
He could have added to that list. There's probably a point at which you get fined. Or maybe you get fined for all of them. I don't know. There might be a point at which, all right, you get to this many penalty minutes or this many misconducts, you owe me 10 grand. Something like that.
There's something like that attached to instigator penalties, I think. But I don't know if there is to just misconducts, period.
Okay.
So, anyway. That's a lot of work for Benson. I didn't realize it was 5 misconducts.
I know. Well, to the original point.
I mean, what? Go ahead. Yeah.
He's not somebody. He's not coming out.
No.
There could be, and this again is open for fans. Is there something big enough to raise eyebrows that you would want to see the Sabres do? And most of that would be moving someone off the team, I think. That's kind of how they're at, where they're at right now. Let us know. 803-0550 to do that. It would not be Benson. I think he's kind of like the emotional heartbeat or something of the Sabres.
They're not moving him.
Too many jerseys.
They
sold out of jerseys.
They'll sooner give him an 8-year, $56 million contract than they would include him in a trade.
Are you for that? Is that safe to do?
The only hesitation I have about it is that in the short term, his contract is up and that immediately is on the books. There's no, like, Byram, for instance, they can give a big extension to, and he's still going to be at last year's number. Because
wait a year before it
kicks
in.
Benson is going right on the books. And so if money's going to be tight, you know, you might like to bridge him. But the risk of bridging him is if he breaks through and becomes a 65-point player, like basically replaces Tuck's production, then you're paying, if his contract is up in another 2 years, like you bridge him 2 years, like 2 years, $12 million or something, say, or 10 even, and you get there, then you're paying manufacturer's price. Then.
But you might bet against that. If I'm Yarmo, I don't think I'm going to get there where I'm going to worry about that. I think I want to make the deal.
The big deal.
Yeah, I've never liked the bridges. This goes back to Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Because that was always the talk. And didn't they do that with Reinhardt?
Oh, they did it. They did it to the point where when it was time to do a long one, he was like, I want to leave.
No, that didn't work out.
No.
I'm not sure I would have rushed to the microphone to say this last year. But I know I said it before that, before we had any sort of new information on guys like Samuelson. I like it this way. I think they had a good idea. They weren't alone in this. They didn't invent anything, but they were not fazed by the Eichel result, and they went in and made long-term Owen Power. They went in and just sort of, you're here for a long time. We say yes. And, you know, young guys, especially Samuelson, young guys like that are going to maybe say yes to that because that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy, Thompson.
Right. When you're in your early 20s, you might still think it's 5 years down the road you're going to get that kind of security in your career. And then suddenly it's like.
Or you could get hurt.
You just showed up and you've got it. Like, okay, I'll do that.
This is Thompson. This is Samuelson. Yep. This is Power. Mm-hmm. This became Doan. Like, this is a chunk of the team.
Yep.
And I like it. I mean, when it was bad, you had plenty of people who wanted to point out that the Samuelson contract was what it was. And, I mean, I wasn't going to argue with it because it didn't look like it was going to work out. But now what? Like, now they all look like great deals.
Samuelson's one of the best bargains in the league this year.
I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
He was the opposite of that.
He's getting paid, like, half price.
And what was it a year ago?
Literally. For the job he's doing, he's getting paid half.
A year ago, you would have said the complete opposite of that.
Right.
This is terrible.
He's stealing $4.25 million.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, how these players produce, as we know, is a function somewhat of who's on the team and who are their line mates and how good is the team, how deep are they. Like, Benson should benefit from that, you would think. That is easier to say if Tuck's here. But still, like, they're pretty deep now, even though these guys are young. So I don't think I need to play games with Benson. Because I also don't think it should be top dollar for a long-term deal.
Right. He should
6 or 7 years.
He should be in a position to get the Doan contract.
7 for 7.
I think somewhere, and that's why I said 8 for 56. I mean, he's their property, so they can go 8 years.
Yep.
That's kind of what I was. Yeah, I mean, I already, last summer, you mentioned this. I can't show it to you. I'll grab it off the wall one of these times and show everybody on YouTube or Twitch. But I've got the lineup from last summer. Basically, I did that. Benson was the top line left winger in my head last year at this time. So I think even if Tuck stays, I think Benson, his production should just go up. I think he's going to play hopefully he stays healthy. He had injuries this year that limited him. What did he play, 60 games 60, or something? Yeah,
I think it's the number.
In that 60, 63, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so maybe durability is a concern. I don't know, but the production should get there is the point. Like, if you sign him to a long-range deal that's a projection, you still should come out ahead with him. Because I think even though he hasn't scored a lot, I think it'll come if he's in that spot.
And, it is 65 games.
And I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be in that spot.
65 regular season games, 42 penalty minutes. A far cry from the 64 penalty minutes of the playoffs.
And what was it, 43 points? Do you have it there?
43 points.
43 points, right.
Yeah.
See?
Almost all at even strength.
Yeah. Get him to what talk at 66 points, 33 goals. Get me 15 more points, Benson.
Not a lot to ask.
I don't think so, especially if you play, you know, almost 20 more games.
Right.
So, I think I would. You've talked me into a. I don't think I need. The only reason I like the bridge there is again because of the cap this year. Like, if a bridge with him helps you keep Tuck, then I think I want to vote bridge. But if you're not paying Tuck no matter what, then the longer you go out with a guy like Benson, the better, I think. Years-wise, I mean.
It's been the blueprint.
Yep.
It is a different GM. I'm not sure that'll mean anything to what the blueprint has been. If you like him, pay him. Done. And even when the Sabres were losing, I always thought that that was a good plan.
One thing that is a little tricky now, I think, about getting guys to do that is the cap. The cap was very flat when the Sabres did all that work. They were coming out of COVID, not just the Sabres, the whole league, the business model. And any sort of commitment cash was, you know, a player was going to leap at it. Now the cap is expected to keep accelerating and you might have a harder time getting guys to agree to like sell off seven, eight years of their career when, you know, the big stars have done, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, big stars on the market have gone shorter term because they want another crack at it, because if top guys are going to start getting $15 million, they want to get back in line, you know, instead of the 11 or 12 that they're currently getting. So I wonder if a player not on that superstar tier is, you know, similarly inclined. Like, should I commit to 7 right now when if I wait 2 years, I can get 10?
A skyrocketing salary cap might just mean it's a great time to think about becoming a minority investor. Maybe now owners could really use the help. Just throwing that out. I want to keep that on the table here. Something to think about.
I'll take back some empties.
Yes. Empties, yes. We had empties. My wife's sister's family live in Toronto, and they brought, is this against the law? I hope I don't cause trouble. Fizzy water from Canada into the States at our party. And now we're like, oh, we have to sift out the fizzy water that Pam brought because we can't return it.
You can't recycle it?
You can recycle anything, but you can't get 5 cents.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they have to go into a separate bag.
Gotcha. And
that was literally a thing that happened in my house yesterday. It's like, separate.
Oh, wow.
We had, you know, beer drinkers and other people. Separate the Pam Pops from the other
Pops.
Gotcha,
right.
Just, you know,
don't want to try
public
to
service
announcement. Don't want to try to slip the, you know, the machine will waste shut down. Time. You just, real trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Then the line forms.
Nobody wants that.
No. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.